Well, it's good to be here this morning, and this is a momentous day to remember for me because it's my first sermon ever giving as a pastor. So I've given sermons before, just not as a pastor, so this is kind of cool. This is Peace Sunday, and how many people even know how Peace Sunday started? I was interested to kind of learn this history. This was an initiative by Mennonite World Conference. 2006, and there was discussions about, as a Mennonite, as global Anabaptists, how do we take one Sunday a year to remember one of our most central core commitments as a peace church? And this Sunday falls in line with the International Day of Peace. They decided that Peace Sunday will fall the closest date to September 21st, which is the International Day of Peace. And so this happens to actually be the International Day of Peace as well. And that day was designed by the UN, United Nations, as a day of ceasefire. And I don't know if that's happening right now. I kind of doubt it. But nevertheless, we remember Peace Sunday today. And this text that we're going to read together kind of comes out of that theme of how are we people of Christ's peace? In our world. And it's very short. I won't always just have one verse. But sometimes one verse is nice because it just isn't too much to get overwhelmed by. And I found this verse to be very meaningful as I start pastoring here at Whitmer Heights. And I thought because it's only one verse, maybe what we could do is just I'll read it three different times with a little bit of silence in between so we can really let the words meditate in our heart. And what I would encourage you to do as I read it is pay attention to different words that stick out. Maybe each different time that I read it, a different word or phrase will come to your mind. And then the sermon will be exploring different parts of what words come to our mind. So let's read this. This is Colossians 3, chapter 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. God, we pray this morning that as we figure out together and explore this text together, that your Spirit would be with us, guiding the thoughts, and that you would help us together to know how we can more faithfully follow you in our daily lives as we love you and love others. In your name, amen. So, this text, I was actually at the Lancaster Mennonite Conference Center on Monday because I actually didn't have a key here yet. So I was like, well, I'll just go to the conference center. There's a lot of good resources there. And I was sitting at one of the desks, and they had that text up on like a picture frame because this is a pretty important text for the conference right now is, as you know, we sometimes say Lancaster Conference, we are people of Christ's peace. And this text was with that. And I was just kind of sitting there thinking, man, I really need that right now. And there's a number of different things that are interesting to me about this text. So maybe as you were reading this, one of the first things that came to your mind was, well, what is the peace of Christ? What do we even mean when we say that? Because peace, we talk a lot about peace. A lot of people care about peace in this world that aren't Christian. know, as a good example, the International Day of Peace, which is today. You know, a lot of people out there in the United Nations thought peace is a pretty good thing, so we should make a day about it. But that is different than the peace of Christ, because I'm pretty sure that's not in their International Day of Peace understanding of why we celebrate this day, that we want to invite the peace of Christ into who we are. So what are we doing differently here this morning when we read something like this? Well, when I think of the peace of Christ, and we think about Paul writing to the church in Colossae about the peace of Christ, I think Paul is referencing a number of different things. One of the first things is that the peace of Christ is good news. This is something that should be celebrated. And I think he's trying to encourage the church. And I think it's a word of encouragement for us today that the peace of Christ is in our hearts. And there's two specific things that is good news about this. The first one is that Christ himself is our peace. And the second one is that Christ gives us peace. And I wanted to look at two different texts really quickly about those. So the first one is Christ is our peace. As we try to wrestle with what is the peace of Christ. Ephesians 2, chapter 14. And I'm just going to read it quickly. Ephesians 2, chapter 14 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." And here Paul is referencing to the wall between the Greek to Jews and Gentiles. In the cross, Jesus reconciled together the two. And a lot of times we misread Paul, I think, on this, and we over-spiritualize what this is about. I mean, really what he's talking about here is the Jewish-Gentile divide. And it's really important to understand that context. But in that setting, where this was such a hot topic of who can be a part of this new movement of following Jesus, can Gentiles be included in this movement? This is a really important text to understand that there's no more us and them. Jesus Christ is our peace, who has made the two now one. So that's good news for the church in Colossae. And it's good news for us today. And then the second one is 2 Thessalonians 3, chapter 16, which says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you." So Christ just is not our peace. He also gives us peace. It's kind of like a lot to get your head around, because it should be simple, but it's not simple at all for me, actually, to try to understand that. One of the ways that I think being people of Christ's peace is different than the way the world understands peace is oftentimes I think the world defines peace as an absence of something. Mostly the absence of violence or the absence of conflict. And I think the peace of Christ isn't an absence, it's a presence of something. It's not the absence of conflict or the absence of violence, which it is that, but it's more than that, it's the presence of Jesus in our lives, in our communities, in our world. And the incarnation itself, God present with us, is maybe a good starting place for how we think about that. So maybe as you were reading this text, that's what stood out to you, the peace of Christ. What is the peace of Christ? Maybe as we were reading it, the word rule stood out. That's kind of a weird word, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. And actually, in the commentary that I was reading, it compared this word to like an umpire today. Like we think about baseball and the umpire who calls the strikes and balls. In a sense, this is what this is getting at here, in that the peace of Christ rules our heart in a way that is where we engage in something, and the peace, it's almost like it calls, if does this shalom or is this not shalom? When you are engaging in this activity, I'm going to this movie, or I am the way I'm related with my family, the peace of Christ, in a sense, it makes the calls of, is this good news? Is this shalom? So the peace of Christ, in a sense, it gives direction to our hearts, to our lives, in that it rules us. It makes the calls. Maybe what stood out to you was the one body image. And this is really cool because it's not talking about just individual peace, which sometimes we individualize everything and make it some kind of feeling that we have. But Paul here is talking very communal language, in that we invite the peace of Christ into our hearts so that we can be a more complete body together. And you think about a body, body works together. I mean, everything that my body is doing is controlled by my brain telling it to do it. And so it's cooperating, it's working together, it's dependent, it's interdependent, it's harmonious. This is how the body of Christ should live together as well, as we invite Christ's peace into us. So it's communal language. I think that's the important thing here. It's communal. Or maybe what stuck out to you was the word thankful. I think that's an amazing way that this text ends. Thankfulness. Actually, none of those words is what stuck out to me. The word that stuck out to me, though, is the first word, which is let. Because I was sitting there in the Lancaster Mennonite Conference Center, and I was just looking at that word, let. Let the peace of Christ rule in my heart. Why is letting so hard? Because it's nothing that I need to work for. It's nothing that I have to accomplish to then get it. It's just let it happen. Just open yourself up to it. I'm giving this to you. Let. But I got to wondering, why is letting so hard? And I thought about, just outside of thinking about this verse, but just other places where people, let me do that for you. And oftentimes the first response I think is, oh, that's okay. That's okay. I got this. I was a waiter at Friendly's for about 6 years. That's kind of how I supported myself through college and some seminary. And it was always interesting when I would hand the check down on the table, there would be like this violent fight to like pick up the check, because none of the other person wanted to like let them pay. And I'd hear like, let me get it this time. It's okay. Let me get it. No, let me get it. Go back and forth trying to give a gift to the other person, and the other person won't accept the gift. It was really fascinating. But then I realized that I do the same thing. So it wasn't quite as funny. Because even on Wednesday, one of your fine members took me out to dinner, and they paid for the meal. And my first reaction was to say, oh, that's okay, let me get. And then I remember, this is on my sermon, I said, thank you very much, I accept that gift. But it just goes to show that my first innate reaction is to not accept the gift. And what is that? Is it pride? Is it trying to always be equal or not wanting to owe someone something? Is it some kind of weakness to let another person give us something? I think about sometimes I go on trips with people and give them some gas money, and they're often say, it's okay, it's okay, it's fine. But then if I keep trying a little bit more, it's, oh, well, okay, I'll take it then. It's almost like the first thing we have to say is, that's okay, but then we'll take it. Like, why do we do that? Does our society train us to not be very good at letting people do that things for us? Does society train us to not let people do things for us or to accept gifts? I don't know. I'm wrestling with this. And then the other thing that I thought of in this text as far as letting is, I often have a hard time letting each day come and staying in the present each day. And this is related to, I think, so much about experiencing the peace of Christ, because oftentimes I'm not experiencing the peace of Christ because I'm not experiencing the present. And I'm already somewhere in the future. And I think what I've figured out is that usually when I'm in the future, I'm more anxious. Because I'm making negative predictions or positive predictions about how the future is going to work. And then that just gets me thinking and thinking and thinking, wondering if I'm actually going to be able to do it that way. As a good example that's very practical, last night I was getting a little bit anxious about this morning. I was trying to figure out, you know, what is, yeah, sure, it's a sermon, and I'm starting here at Whitmer Heights, but what's different about it? And one of the big things that's different is that I didn't type out my whole text. And I normally do that. And actually, one of my good friends challenged me to not read my text so much. So I was like, okay, I'll try. I guess the first Sunday can be a good time to try that. I don't know if it was, but I was making negative predictions that it was going to bomb, even though I had no reality to know if that was true or not. But that's just all to say, it's really hard to let the peace of Christ ruin my heart when I'm already going to the future and saying it's not going to go good. And so, how do we let the peace of Christ ruin our heart? And I think part of it is learning how to let go. Learning how to let go. I need to let go of knowing how the future is going to work out. I need to let go of my need for something to look the way that I think it should look like. And I need to let go of what other people think it should look like. But that's sometimes the hardest part. I need to let go of any kind of pride or resistance to accepting a gift. Because I'm pretty sure they're connected. If we're not very good at accepting gifts from our people, how are we going to accept God's gift of peace in our own hearts? I need to learn to let go. And the more that I can let go, the more that I can let. Let go and let God. And I think that that's really important as I'm starting here at Whitmer Heights in this season here. Because it's really easy for me to jump to the future and to wonder, you know, how am I ever going to learn all these names? And I tell you what, it's really easy to get overwhelmed by something as simple as that. Or are there going to be new families coming in? Because I know Whitmer Heights really wants new life. Or how am I going to do this with time? Because time's such a precious resource, and I have all these friends, and I'm in a dating relationship, and I have a really close family, and how am I ever going to have the time to pour out to people? And then I get really overwhelmed really quickly, too. Or how am I going to do pastoral care with so many different generations? All that's to say, it's easy to get overwhelmed and to not experience the peace of Christ when I go to the future. And so, what if the church, what if Whitmer Heights can be an experiment and a training in learning how to stay in the present? What if Whitmer Heights can be a training experiment in learning how to take a day at a time? And to learn how to let go of figuring out the future. That's what I'm hoping for right now. Yes, we have dreams and hopes of what we can do together and how we can be the body of Christ, but we really don't know. And as soon as I try to predict it too much, I just get more anxious about it. So I'm letting go of that this morning. I'm just trying. I'm going to let go, and I'm going to let God. And this is Peace Sunday, and I truly believe that this isn't disconnected from how we love our enemies, from how we love our families, from how we love our parents and our children, and how I'm a good uncle, and how I love my neighbors or my friends, how we are in right relationship with each other, like how we experience the peace of Christ in our hearts, and how we take a day at a time, and how we learn to accept gifts from others. That's all connected to how we live rightly together as Christ people. And so maybe that can be what we ask this morning, of how we are going to let go and let God this morning. And maybe the church can be training and practicing that together. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to be together. And thank you for the friendships and this body of people. And I thank you that together we figure out how to follow you. And this morning, God, as we think about your peace, peace that passes understanding, peace that we can't get our head around, and yet you give to us freely and just have to learn how to accept it. God, this morning may we learn how to accept your peace. And as we accept your peace, we continue to pray for people around this world that are in difficult situations, whether that be violence or war or sex trafficking, whatever it is, God, we pray for your peace. And we pray for your peace in this world and in our own lives. We thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. In Jesus' name, amen.